Well, good morning. So in 2012, a study led by Thomas Harder and Jay Lund at UC Davis looked at the sources of nitrogen contamination of groundwater in the Salinas Valley, in the Tulare Valley, two important agricultural areas of California. And their conclusion was that the major source of contamination was coming from agriculture. Tulare Valley has a large dairy industry, and of course, as Richard was saying, the Salinas Valley is dominated by cool season vegetable production, which are very intensively fertilized. And one of the solutions that they suggested in this report that actually went to the state legislature was a partial solution for remediation would be what they call pump and fertilize. And essentially, if growers, as they apply their irrigation water to their crops, they take credit for the nitrogen that's already in the water and reduce their fertilizer application, that would be beneficial in remediating some of the problem because you reduce the nitrogen loading by reducing those fertilizer rates. And that would also be beneficial for the growers because they would save money on their fertilizer. However, presently, a lot of growers do not take credit for the nitrogen that is in their irrigation water that would be from the groundwater. They have a number of questions, a number of doubts about the fertilizer value of that nitrogen that's in the water. One of the issues is we're growing cool season vegetables, they're very salt sensitive, and so growers will apply a leaching fraction. So they apply extra volume water to prevent the salts from building up. And one concern is that that nitrogen in the water that's percolating below the root zone would not be available to these very shallow-rooted vegetable crops. The other concern is that a lot of the wells do have high levels of nitrogen in the water, but many of the wells have nitrogen in the water, but it's not a very high concentration, so they wonder if there's a minimum threshold that would be of value in terms of fertilizer credit. And then we have a number of growers using recycled water on the coast because their wells have gone salty due to seawater intrusion, and they're taking recycled water, which is dominated by the ammonium form of nitrogen. And they presently don't take credit for the ammonium. And you'd think ammonium would be just as useful as nitrate in the water. So those are the questions we wanted to take a look at doing replicated trials. And we conducted all these trials at the USDA ARS Spence Research Farm in Salinas, California. And the idea was apply waters that we re-simulate different nitrogen concentrations to a lettuce crop and see what the nitrogen recovery is. This was a sandy loam soil. The background level of nitrogen in this water was 2 to 3 parts per million. And we're growing iceberg lettuce. I'll talk about two trials that we did in 2013, a summer and fall harvested trials. They're all direct seeded. We did apply some nitrogen at planting as a form of anticrustant. The plots were about 14 meters long by 4 beds in width, and all the treatments were replicated 4 times. And we had 2 factors. We're looking at nitrogen concentration in the water as well as the volume of water we're applying, or the leaching fraction. So we applied these water nitrogen treatments through the drip system. So we started the crop with sprinklers, and then we converted over to drip after thinning the crop. And the nitrogen treatments, where we start with untreated control, just the background level of nitrogen in the water, no other nitrogen except the anticrustant. We did have a standard fertilizer practice of 168 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare that was applied through the drip system in 5 fertigations. And then we had treatments where the only nitrogen except for that anticrustant was what was in the water. So we had 12, 22, and 42 parts per million of nitrate N. And then we had another treatment, which was the 42 parts per million, but it was dominated by ammonium form of nitrogen. So to simulate these waters with different nitrogen concentrations, we built this manifold. And there's these water-driven pumps. So for every 100 mils of water that flows through these things, they inject 1 milliliter of a concentrated solution, which were stored in those blue barrels there. So we added salts that consisted of calcium nitrate, sodium nitrate, ammonium sulfate, and we proportioned those salts to simulate groundwater types of salts, where we're holding the calcium sodium ratio to equal about 0.85, and the ECs ranged from 0.5 to 0.85 decisiemens per meter. So of course, if we have higher nitrate in the water, the EC goes up, the salinity goes up. And then the other factor was irrigation rate, and we looked at two rates, one very close to what we estimated crop ET to be, and one to represent a leaching fraction. So for the summer crop, it was 160% of crop ET. For the fall crop, it was 210%. So substantial more water we're applying than was required to meet ET to simulate a leaching fraction. And so you can see we did those leaching fractions during the drip phase of the crop. And if we're applying more water, then we're applying more nitrogen through the water. We wanted to verify we're simulating the right nitrogen concentrations. And so we've had drippers on two of the replications. And we collected water with every irrigation and analyzed that water to see what the nitrogen concentration was. And this is just the average for all those treatments after 17 irrigations. And you can see what we measured and what we intended to have were very close. So this is how the trial looked. This is our summer harvested trial a few weeks before harvest. And the slide on the left, 42 parts per million. That's all the nitrogen was getting was through the water, 42 parts per million of nitrate N. And the background nitrogen in the water only on the right. You can see the nitrate's affecting the plant size and the color. So it definitely looks to us like it's taking up nitrogen. This graph plots the total amount of nitrogen in all these treatments versus the biomass yield. And each symbol represents the average of the treatment. The circles are the treatments where the nitrogen is only coming from the water, except for that anticrustant that was applied at planting. And then you see the squares represent the standard fertilizer treatment. And all the treatments follow the same response curve. And we see that, indeed, as we apply more nitrogen through the water, we have higher biomass yield. And even low concentrations of nitrogen, 12 parts per million of nitrate N in the water, are affecting biomass yield. And then having extra water using a leaching fraction and therefore putting more nitrogen on on the crop is resulting in higher biomass yield. The fall crop did not grow as vigorously. So the response curve is a lot flatter, but it was a similar type of relationship, and both of these were, you know, highly significant. If we look at the effect of the irrigation water treatments on the tissue in the lettuce, then we see a very similar relationship. Even low concentrations of nitrate in the water are affecting the nitrogen in the tissue of the lettuce crop. If we have a higher leaching fraction, it results in higher nitrogen in the tissue. And if we multiply the dry matter biomass yield versus the nitrogen in the tissue, we can calculate the crop N uptake. Again, very similar relationship where you do see that the effect of the nitrogen in the water is translating in higher crop N uptake. Now to the question of ammonium versus nitrate sources of water, we see no difference in terms of crop N uptake, whether you're talking about the 110% ET treatment or the high leaching fraction treatment, no difference in uptake due to the source of nitrogen, which is what we would expect. Now we calculate crop end recovery from the irrigation water by just plotting the total applied nitrogen in the water versus crop end uptake for just those water treatments, and the slope is related to the end recovery, and for the summer harvested crop, it was 86%. Versus the fertilizer standard, which is now on the plateau, that response curve, 55%. And similar for the fall crop, which did not grow as vigorously, but the recovery was 41% versus for the fertilizer standard, 20%. And the fact that all this data fits the same response curve really suggests that the nitrate in the water at least has the same value as fertilizer nitrogen. So I'll just summarize. I think these trials show that, yes, nitrogen in the irrigation water, in the groundwater, has just as much fertilizer value as using fertilizer. And we're getting recoveries from 41 to 86%. Low concentrations still have value to our lettuce crops. And there's no difference from what we can see between ammonium or nitrate sources. And the volume of water applied to the crop really didn't affect the recovery rate. So if you put more water with more nitrate in it, it goes into the crop just as much as fertilizer nitrogen. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
With your work that you found, I mean, I know that there's some places in the Salinas Valley where there's a lot of nitrate that's available in the water.
Right.
How do you see that being integrated into grower practices in terms of taking into account that in a fertility program?
Right, that's a good question. So we've been advocating, just like Dan was saying, to Dan Sullivan, to test the soil using the soil nitrate quick test. So use that, and we have some uptake curves, so growers can know how much the crop is going to need, and then we would subtract off, knowing if they know how much water they're going to be putting on between now and the next time they're going to fertilize. It's 2 inches of water. They can calculate that much N that they're applying and just take it off the top. So that, and we actually did trials to try that. It worked out very nice.
And the other question I have for you is, if you look real close at the irrigation efficiency versus the crop demand, at how the grower practices relate to what they actually need in terms of irrigation?
Yeah, and we've looked at how they're irrigating. A lot of growers are really over-applying water. And so it's no mystery that some of the high nitrate wells are on the farms where they're over-applying water. Okay? Yes?
The water that has both ammonium and nitrate, do you think that ammonium is nitrifying rapidly and they're really taking up that nitrate, or they're...
Yeah, that's a good question. The soil temperatures are quite warm there, so I would expect within days that the ammonium form would become nitrate. And so we pick up some of the effect just doing the soil nitrate quick test, and then, you know, looking forward, you would just adjust for how much water you're going to apply and the nitrogen concentration.
Are you the visual one or with the reflection?
We just use those strips. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
I noticed that you added cations to heat in the water. You added some sodium calcium. Did you take into account anion competition? Because from what I understand, the groundwater in that part of California is very rich in selenium. So is there a possibility of selenate in groundwater that might be competing with the nitrate and causing an impact on
Well, we didn't play around with the anions, really, except our anion was nitrate. And then we were just trying to simulate the type of composition we have in our groundwater. We don't have much selenium, if that's what you said, in our groundwater there. We do have, you know, a fair amount of carbonate and sulfates.